You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome back. We are live. It is Minor Talk. Alberto Retta's in the house. Sal Montes is in the house. I'm Adrian Broaddus, and we are taking you through a speedy edition here of Minor Talk. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Check it out everywhere. That's where we're getting things started here tonight. UTEP with a 20-point win in a game they were supposed to beat. UT Permian Basin, 78-58. There's some positive takeaways. The negative ones will kind of hang with you, but I don't really take much away from anything that I saw from tonight because, I'm still hanging on to the loss that they had against Utah Valley. I get it, and I agree with what Coach Joe Golding said after the game. Sometimes you just lay an egg, and sometimes you just have those bad outings. But I want to see how the Miners right the wrongs that they had last week on the road against Utah Valley and then take on a UC Santa Barbara team next Wednesday, which I think on paper right now, you know, they're going to go into that matchup as the favorites over the Miners. So that's where my eyes are at, UC Santa Barbara. I know tonight we're talking Texas Permian Basin. We could talk about it with you, 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. We're going to do a shorter show here tonight, knowing that we had a busy one on Saturday, and knowing that we're going to have a really busy one come next Wednesday, when that one really matters for UTEP basketball. But we're here with you. If you were at the game, if you want to talk anything, 915-505-6009. A couple tweets to get to as well. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and then we'll go out to our cohort over here. We've got Sal Montes in the building, Alberto Retta in the building as well. Miners win today 78-58. We could talk about it. 915-505-6009. Also, we are brought to you by Jack in the Box. It is 15 locations across El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is open 24/7, 365. Big shout out to Jack in the Box. They're the best spot to go before and after every game. That is Jack in the Box here on Minor Talk. Also want to give a big shout out to the Oscar Adietha Agency. They are the presenting sponsor of the Hometown Hero Award. Every single UTEP game that you see, you might notice today, the Hometown Hero Award winner was our very own Steve Kaplowitz. That's right. Heroes walk among us, whether it's a teacher, a student, somebody who makes a difference in our community, a community leader, a coach. Go to riseup915.com. That is the website for the Oscar Adietha Agency. It's riseup915.com. Click the Hometown Hero Award button and nominate somebody if you know anybody who's deserving to be honored for the next UTEP game. That is riseup915.com for the Oscar Adietha Agency. All right, turning it over to you guys, Sal Montes, Alberto Retta. We'll start with you, Sal. You know, the rebounding to me, Sal, is probably the biggest issue right off the bat. The fact that UTPB, a D2 team, comes into the Don Haskins Center and out-rebounds UTEP 33-30, that's red flag number one. And I think it's going to be a red flag all season long, my friend.
Yeah, and we've kind of seen that as well. Bigs are going to be able to thrive, and you wonder why. Maybe it's just a guard-heavy oriented lineup, but I mean, on the other side too, if you're one of the bigs for UTEP, you'd expect more offensive rebounds on a general basis, not necessarily just for tonight, but we've seen it, right? Having trouble boxing out, and I think they're just really trying to get out in transition, but it's kind of like that saying, right? Like, you got to catch the ball before you run with it, so to speak, in football, and that's kind of what it is. You know, just seeing them not prioritize rebounding, albeit didn't really need to do it tonight. But when you have bigs who are not able to even establish position, we got to see how this improves going forward.
Yeah, Alberto, I mean, we've played, you've played pickup hoops in your life. I've played pickup hoops in my life. I think rebounding's a lot of effort. And I think that, you know, for this squad out there, you heard Joe Golding say it in the second half, maybe a little checked out, maybe a little too comfortable, whatever it was, they've got to fix these little issues, because then they can compound to bigger issues. That was what we saw on the road as they lost to Utah Valley last week. And that can't carry over next week to Santa Barbara. They want to win that one right there. So rebounds do concern me. One of the other things that concerns me a little bit is, again, the perimeter scoring, Alberto. 33% from beyond the arc, albeit they didn't have one of their best three-point scorers on the team in Ahmad Bynum tonight.
Yeah, they didn't have Ahmad Bynum, but I still, the rebound stuff, it's really, really, It's alarming. I mean, when you compound it with the performance that they put together last week and, you know, just their overall size, it does kind of alarm you the way that they've been rebounding. I mean, look, that offensive rebound stat, 16 UT Permian Basin offensive rebounds to UTEP 7, I don't think that's necessarily size. I think that is, like you said, a lot of effort, and you can't train effort. You can't train intensity. You can't. If a guy goes out there and wants it more than you can, it's hard to train someone for that situation, right?
Yeah. It's exactly true. I mean, I would say another thing, you know, when you look at this team from top to bottom right now, they do have their holes. But at the same point, I do like what Steve Yellen was just saying, you know, in the post game. They have the makings of a really likable team. I mean, you see Otis Frazier III going on one side and dunking it. Like, that's exciting stuff. And then you see on the other side with, you know, players like Kevin Kalu today. He was running the floor, too. He had 12.7 rebounds today in 17 minutes of action. All those things sound great. But then you harp on some of the little things, right? It's the, you know, second chance points that you're allowing to turnovers. They did force 20 turnovers, by the way, tonight. So those are the things that I take away as positives. But at the same time, Sal, 18 turnovers on their side. I know it was no David Terrell Jr., who loves to, pace the floor nicely for this squad right here.
Yeah.
But you can't have 18 turnovers on a night like tonight.
You can. And it basically, it counters what you do on defense. You're able to force these turnovers, and we saw how amazing they were in the first half when it came to forcing turnovers and establishing the pace based off of their defense. But you're kind of hurting yourself when you turn it over on the other end. It's basically like, what did you force a turnover for if you're just going to give it right back? And there's really no fluidity when they need it the most to kind of run away with it. So, yeah, it's a Division II team, but we'll see how, you know, if they have a half like they did tonight in the first half against Santa Barbara, but then they have the second half like they had tonight against Permian Basin. Who knows how different that one can go, because we've seen how quickly this team can let a game get away from them.
Yeah, we have. And you know what I also will say, Sal, is, you know, we talk about this team right here. How concerned are you that UT Permian Basin defeated UTEP in the second half? They outscored them 39-32. And at one point, I had to look up and I was like, wait a second, this is a 14-point
yeah.
game. Like, this game is actually in the swing.
I think, like you guys hit on earlier, maybe it was effort, just not all the way checked out, but they just weren't all the way there, because it's kind of like, hey, we have this one in the bag, let's get out of here as soon as possible. It's, you know what I mean? Not
yeah.
really being extremely locked in. And I understand it. It's hard to get up for a team like UT Permian Basin when you have the lead like you do at the half. However, you got to keep your foot on the gas from the beginning to the end. That's what you're going to need to do all season, because as we've seen, as the season goes along, offense under Golding don't really show the most promise, so to speak. So you want to be able to keep your foot on the gas. If you can't have a solid offense, at least have a solid defense all the way through.
915-505-6009. We expect it to be a quiet night on the phone lines here tonight. Northwestern State is the last time I can remember a team come into El Paso beating UTEP where it was like, ugh, I mean, this is not
yeah.
good. But that Northwestern State was also a D1 team, not a D2 team. Southeastern Louisiana, the Miners lost to both those teams in back-to-back weeks. Don't forget, this was 2016-2017. This was my second season covering UTEP men's basketball under head coach Tim Floyd. They were 15-17 that year, Sal. Very disappointing finish that season. When you consider the talent they had, Dominic Artis, Omega
yeah.
Harris, Matt Wilms, Paul Thomas, Kelvin Jones, Trey Touchette, Jake Flaggart. They had a, you know, pretty talented team, but they had a really bad losing streak. In fact, they lost in that season, Sal, 11 games in a row, spanning from November 20th all the way through January 7th. How about that?
Yeah, and these are the spots that you don't want UTEP to go back to. I specifically remember that game that you were talking about. What was it?
Northwestern State.
At home. I was out of town. I can't remember where I was. It was for the holidays. And I had to do a double take. Like, is this serious? And I even went on Twitter, like, they lost to Northwestern State. No, not the Wildcats from the Big Ten. I'm talking about the team in Louisiana. Yeah, if you Google them, that's exactly what I mean. I was so livid at that point, but little did I know that, unfortunately, that was going to be the standard kind of the rest of the year. So it's a little bit different. I think around that point, you know, the locker room was a bit lost. Doesn't seem that way here.
No.
And plus, it's so early in the season. You know, these are two completely different teams. But you're right, though. We do want to see them continue to show dominance, specifically on defense and specifically at home.
Yeah, and tonight they won. I mean, the fact that they lost that Northwestern State game a couple years back, you know, sidelines UTEP was reminding me of that game. I remember it, too. I remember when I was there covering it, like, looking up at the score, just I was wondering, Sal, if they would add more time to the clock. Like, I was like, wait a second. I don't think this is actually allowed in El Paso for them to go down and lose to Northwestern State at home. So I kept looking at the clock thinking, wait a second, are they going to add 5 more minutes so UTEP could try to come back in this game? Instead, that night, UTEP ends up losing 79-67, throwback to 2016.
Let me ask you real quick, Agent. You said Floyd was the coach that year. Was that the year that Johnson became the interim?
So that was the next year, right next after year. That. And ooh. They lose to Lamar that year, 66-52 at home, a very similar feeling.
Wow.
But that one, you felt like it was over. That one, I mean, I don't know if anybody predicted, you know, Tim Floyd going into the press conference, post-game press conference, and announcing his retirement right there. But you could kind of feel it was either the beginning of the end. It was just the sharp end right there. It was the hard end. The, you know, Tim Floyd said he didn't want to coach anymore. He was pretty much done at that point. And Phil Johnson assumed things right there on Monday, November 27th, in 2017, by the way. So there you go, Sal. Interesting stuff. 915-505-6009, our telephone number, 600-ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600-ESPN-El-Paso.com. Again, UTEP defeats UT Permian Basin 78-58. Leading scorers from tonight include Corey Camper Jr. with 12, Kevin Callie with 12. You also had Trey Horton with 10, Barnes with 11, but the leading scorer overall was Otis Frazier III, 17 points tonight, 7 assists, which was a career high. Thank you to Mark Bruner of UTEP Basketball for giving us that one right there. And then some other stats to note, and some other, you know, some other nuggets to have in this one right here as well. Thanks to Mark Bruner. He sent us some really good ones here tonight. Career high for Trey Horton with 6 rebounds. Career best for steals with Corey Camper. He had 5. And then Kevin Callie was about to hit his career best, 13 points, but finished with 12 overall when it was all said and done. So there you go. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600-ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600-ESPN-El-Paso.com as we continue. Miners shot 59% from the field tonight. There were 5 of 15 from beyond the arc. That's 33%. Alberto, what's the key to hitting more three-pointers? I guess it's early in the season, man. Way too early for us to overreact, but what's your thoughts?
Man, that's a great question. Apart from playing Ahmad Bynum some more, I'm just kidding. I know he did get some action today. That's a great question. The Miners weren't able to solve their three-point woes last year. So, I mean, without the addition of a true, like, well, this is our three-point guy, which I think Ahmad Bynum is, because they believe in Trey Horton. I think that it's just kind of believing in the guys that the Miners have, and on any given night, they can explode on you from the three, right? Because Otis Frazier III, he took 3 threes today, and he only made 1 today, but on any given night, he can make 2 of those and really puts you in a predicament, because Trey Horton, instead of sinking only 2 out of 5, he makes 4 out of 5, and now you're really in a different ball game because a couple guys hit just 1 or 2 more threes. So I think it's just about getting hot at the right time. Unfortunately for the Miners, we haven't seen it happen for them this year.
Yeah, and I mean, it was in the first game they really got hot. I mean, Ahmad Bynum was scorching hot, and same with Trey Horton. He was scorching hot in that first game against Sol Ross. Didn't happen tonight against another D2 team, and so let's see if it happens on the road when it really matters against a team like UC Santa Barbara. I think a lot of people who are longtime UTEP fans, they're going to point out the interior to us and say that that's where their biggest concern is. And it's going to be a concern all season long. You heard Joe Golding after the game. They're going to still have to figure things like that out. He was mentioning, you know, he talked about DeCannon Wickware, and he said how he's dealing with some sort of health issues. So I'll make sure to ask that whenever we get a chance to in practice. But if DeCannon Wickware cannot stay healthy, then the Miners, you know, in the front court, they do have some depth concerns, because the frustrations early on from this coaching staff seem to be from the rebounding. They did lay an egg at Utah Valley, But in the second half of tonight, I think you can learn a lot of lessons from tonight. Go back, watch film, and see how you can be better rebounding if you're this basketball team. Back to the phone lines we go, 915-505-6009. Let's get started with Leon, who is joining us next. Leon, good evening. Welcome back to another season of Minor Talk UTEP Hoops, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hope you all are doing well. I haven't called in a while. You know, great job on the show and doing what you do, Adrian. I just want to give you props, man. You do a great job for UTEP and along with your team there.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You know, one of the things that really bothered me tonight, and I think you already hit it, is, you know, you got four games coming up of a stretch against some really decent competition. And you got two guys on the interior that one's there been his third year, the other one's been there 4 years. And we were getting out-rebounded tonight by whether it's a D2 product, and a lot of respect to him, that looked like positioning to me. It doesn't look like these guys got real good position the second half, nor did they want to. And I don't really think it has anything to do with their ability. I think it also has to do with the fact that they need to get, you know, in their position box people out and really get more aggressive and want to get the ball. You know, Jones, I think we all like, you know, Jones, but seems like he either can't get a rebound or doesn't go after it after a shot, and sometimes he's the biggest guy on the floor. I'm really, really concerned with this season. I know we got some great guards and some people that are going to do some great things, but if we can't hit the balls, man, it's going to be a long, long, long season. That's all I really had tonight.
Leon, real quick. How different do you feel this season is from last year, and does it even matter? Like, because I hear what you're saying, and I totally understand. And remember when we were talking, like, January of last year, December, we were pointing out X, Y, Z, and then none of it mattered because the Miners made a magical run in March, and they were in playing, you know, for the CUSA championship game. So I'm curious, like, I'm genuinely wondering, how much does all of this matter right now? All you have to kind of hope for is they peak at the right time in March, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really would hope that would happen, and I think they got to change up their style a little bit. But last year you had some guards, Zip Powell, and you know, even, you know, who was
Tay
the
Hardy,
one?
Yeah, Tay Hardy.
The forward. Yeah, these guys went after the ball, man. I'm not seeing it out of some of these smaller guards after they shoot. We're not having anybody attack, and it's just bad positioning until we get that figured out. I think it's going to be a tough time, and hopefully by March they figure it out, because it's a lot invested in. But if we can't even out-rebound a D2 team, man, I'm a little concerned right now.
Okay, Leon.
We'll see. We'll find out more over these four stretch of games.
Yeah, we really will, and I appreciate the phone call, Leon. Thank you for weighing in. Sal, that's where we bring it in, and that's where I think we should kind of wind it up and really hammer this home. Forget tonight. Tonight we could just talk until the cows go home about picking apart every player, okay? We're going to give our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game, and we're going to give our Australia at the agency player of the game. We're going to give all these awards right now. All this doesn't matter. Next four
exactly.
games will tell us everything about this team. Before the season started, I marked that Ball Dogs Classic is the time where we will find out about UTEP basketball. So let's do it. Let's play the schedule-making game, okay?
All right.
UC Santa Barbara, let's do it roundtable style. I have them winning. I have high expectations for this team. I have UTEP winning against UC Santa Barbara on the road. Go ahead, Alberto, your thoughts. Win or loss?
I'm going to have to go against you. I think the Miners drop one before they go on a three-game streak over there in Las Vegas. So I think they lose to UC Santa Barbara.
All right, Sal, UC Santa Barbara, win or loss?
You know what? I think that one's going to be a loss as well. And I put it this way, against Portland, who's they're not amazing, but they're a little bit respectable in their conference. They dropped 94 on those guys over the weekend. 94-53 was the final. They'll have a good test tomorrow against Fresno State, but after that they'll take on San Jose State. So they're going to be battle tested by the time UTEP comes around. And what's UTEP done so far? Two Division Twos, two conference members of the Lone Star State, and then if those are the bread, then the meat in the sandwich, so to speak, is Utah Valley, and haven't fared well. So I think there's going to be a lot more battle testing that's been done for UC Santa Barbara. So I'll go with the Gauchos.
UTEP beats UC Santa Barbara last year. However, Deuce Turner, who is their best player, did not play in that matchup. And not to mention the fact that UC Santa Barbara has loaded up over the past couple weeks, or years, or offseason, yeah. I should say, past offseason. And they got some really good guards. That's what I'm hearing from the Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara. They also play Fresno State this Wednesday, a.k.a. tomorrow, and then Sunday they play San Jose State before they take on the Miners. So we'll know a little bit more about the Gauchos, and we'll know a little bit more about that Santa Barbara game next week. Okay, so let's. So you two have losses. I've got a win that UTEP will take against UC Santa Barbara. Then let's go to the Ball Dogs Classic, okay? I've got them beating San Jose State, beating Long Beach State, and losing their a final game, however that shakes out, to UNC Greensboro, okay? So I've got them winning 2 of 3, and I've got them finishing out the month of November. And I don't really count Sil Ross and Texas Permian Basin, right, guys? Like, I really don't.
No.
So I've got them, at least this is my standard right now, I've got them at 3-2 overall at the end of November. If you wanted to be technical about it, it's 5-2 overall. Sal, where are you at right there with that three-game stretch in Las Vegas?
Oh, man, that three-game stretch. So San Jose State, which will be interesting because, as you mentioned, Santa Barbara plays them, up until the moment that they play UTEP. So that'll be fun film to watch. But within the three, with my heart, I want to go 2-1, but logic is just telling me 1-2.
Okay, 1-2.
I don't know who.
Yeah.
But, either 1-2, it's not going to be an easy one. If I had to pick the most likely one, I'll say Greensboro.
Okay, I'm going to say that's very disappointing. If they go 1-2, I have a standard for this group to at least, and I am saying at least, go 2-3 out of that one. 1-2 would be disappointing in my opinion, but let's see what ends up happening. Alberto, your thoughts. How are they doing in Vegas in your eyes?
No, look, I think they beat San Jose State. San Jose State's not really looking as impressive as they ought to. They dropped a game to Hawaii. And then, I have them also playing a close game against Long Beach State, a first round exit in the tournament last year. That should be a close one, right? And then against UNC Greensboro, that's the one where it's really going to be up to their effort, to their play. It's going to be the third game away. It's going to be in Las Vegas. Is the concentration going to be there? And so I think if they win the first two, in my opinion, they'll win that third and just kind of really get hot and get it going and get it figured out and come back with that third one.
Okay. I got you down. Then, that's where we stand at the end of November. And what that means for December, well, it means another tough three-game stretch, right? Because after they turn the page on that Ball Dogs Classic, Miners have Seattle at home, a road game at Louisville, and then a home game against Tarleton State to start off the month of December. Not to mention the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, which closes out their month of December. Back to the phone lines we go. It is Ronnie. It's our good pal, 915-505-6009. Ronnie, we're talking some hoops tonight. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I just called to talk to you guys. So, how about our Lions, huh? 5 picks and still win the freaking game.
That's what you do, man. Create some excitement.
Oh, this turned to Lions talk.
I've always heard this saying, and Draymond Green is the first person that I heard say it. Winners find ways to win and losers find ways to lose. And that's never been a truer statement in sports, especially in basketball. But I think across all sports. I think that's a true statement. I want to comment on what you said, Adrian, about all this not really mattering. I think it does matter for the Miners, man. I think it does. Kids nowadays are a little more fragile mentally, and so they've got to be in a good headspace to go on a run late in March. I know you want them to be playing their best basketball, but they've got to be bought in when you have older kids, because here's what happens. If they feel like everything that you told them you didn't do with the coaching staff or that you didn't have their back, well, guess what? They go out there and they give you a piss poor performance and they want the season to be over with, and they're just, throwing up any shot they want. They're trying to let guys, play the old Ole defense, like I'm here, but I'm not really here. So I think all this is building a foundation that absolutely has to and will matter, because we know that it's going to matter to La Tech. It's going to matter to Sam Houston, right? Those teams aren't going to a different league, so they've got to try to win, this league, right? Western Kentucky, like we know it's going to matter to those teams. And so I think that what the kids are doing now, I think every rep, I think every game absolutely matters to them, which is why I keep saying for 3 years, why are we still playing D2 and NAIA schools? Like, it just will not help you when it comes down to the nitty gritty of a formidable D1 opponent when you're in a conference tournament, a road game, at home game that's a make or break for seeding, right? Like you need to be putting kids in true pressure situations. And I think that, you know, until we start to schedule strategically, you know, we're not going to reap the true benefits of what really happens. You look at that second to last year for Grant Mack at North Texas when he had Javion and all those kids and how they scheduled up.
Yeah.
And then they went to the tournament, beat Purdue. It's because it's a byproduct, right, of who you're playing and what you're doing in the situations that you're putting kids in to be able to learn from those situations. Because let's face it, you go on the road to Utah Valley and you lose by 20, there's a fight. It's really hard to put that game tape on to get people to want to learn from that because kids are defensive, right? Kids are like, oh, this crap is, you know what I mean? People want to wash their
brain. Yeah, that's probably why they took the second half off at times.
Yeah, people want to wash their brain of that. But you need these kids to be able to go back to the drawing board, look at the tape, look at the mistakes, look at what did we do well, what could we do better, what did we miss, because it's collective units, everybody, right? But if you don't put kids in those true situations, and I commend Golden for going to Utah Valley and playing that game, but you need more games like that, man. You really do. I mean, like, that's no offense to, you know, our Solos brothers and UTEP, Permian Basin, all the initials we want. But if you want to help them, just cut them a check. You don't got to play the game. Just cut them a check. They're 501(c)(3) and just keep it moving, right? And go play somebody, right? Even if it's DePaul, I mean, hell, just get on the road and go play somebody. Even if you go to Arizona State, I mean, Hurley's not. I mean, what? I mean, until Rodney Terry beat that guy, so you're telling me Joe Golden couldn't beat him? I mean, hey, that's go over there and play those guys. They're always looking to buy a win. I just think you got to get in that mindset, right? Like, winners got to – it's still a winning opportunity because of the moment to learn from. And one thing that I took, because when I was watching the minor game on – Saturday at the Utah Valley, I started watching, like I said, the Santa Barbara. They beat those guys by 40. I mean, there's. I'm gonna tell you right now, the Miners got no hope of beating that team.
Wow.
They just beat a D1 team by 40 freaking points, and the Miners are still figuring out, you know, what Kevin Kalu's career high is in year 5 against a D2 school. Like, what are we talking about? Like, stop that. Stop that. Like, let's turn the Miner talk into freaking Lions talk, because the Miners, like, come on, man. Like, stop that. They're getting ready to play their best opponent to date, and it's a good thing they got 8 days to figure out what to do. I know Golden's a defensive monster, but, dude, you hang 40 points on somebody in their own gym, I don't care who you're about to play next. It's going to be real. Those kids are going to build a confidence high out this world, and they deserve to.
Yeah.
Be there. To answer your question, Vegas, yeah, I got the Miners going 1-2 also, man. Something about Goldie that I never understood, like every time he gets that player that is a little bit rebellious but has just enough FU in his game to really change the game, it takes him a while to really buy into that player, and he's got that in buying him. And until he puts that kid in the starting lineup and just lets him go crazy – you know, I guess maybe it's his way of trying to get the team to be bought in, and then eventually he'll get the kid to buy in more. I get it's a give and take, but every year he has that one kid, man, that has just enough FU in his attitude, but can really change the game, but Golden doesn't just kind of get behind that kid all the way. And I can see it with Bynum, and I'm sure the fight thing didn't hurt or didn't help the kid's case, but I don't care, man. You brought the kid here for a reason. Put that kid in the lineup and say, look, I'm not an offensive coach. We're not an offensive team, but we obviously got to score more than 55 points to beat people. And he is the clearest kid that is on that side of the of doing that game plan. Let that kid go crazy, man, because he has that type of explosive scoring, 8, 9, 10 drive, consecutive point ability. And it don't take much to look at this team and see that. And I just think that you got to do that at some point, and you're going to be putting those games sooner than later.
Well, I also think that, you know, real quick, Ronnie, just to push back just a little bit, Ahmad Bynum and David Terrell today, they were actually, by NCAA rule, from what we heard today, they were held out of this game because of the fight and everything that happened. So I'm not a fan of that whatsoever. I hated that toss out anyways from that Utah Valley game last week. So I think later on this season, Bynum will be in the starting lineup, like, to your point right now, because I think you're right, and I think the coaching staff sees that from him. Do they want him to be the off-the-bench spark? Maybe. But I think as the season continues, he will be that guy who could be the go-to scorer. Right now, they like the two-way ability from Corey Camper, and if you're going to say that, you know, maybe staggering the minutes from Camper and Frazier and playing Horton and Frazier a little bit more on the floor together could help, I'd probably agree with you. I think they lack size. I'm totally behind you on the Kevin Kalu, you know, we're talking career highs here against a D2 team. I get all that kind of stuff, and I get the rebounding stuff too. This team does need to play better in the regular season, not for the end goal, like I was kind of alluding to earlier, but it's for the fans. I mean, also just to win back the fans, to make fans excited. You know, you're not going to get fans excited about Sol Ross and UT Permian Basin. I'm totally behind you on that, Ronnie. That's no fault to their own, but at the same time, that means they've got a win against Seattle when they have that home game coming up here on December 7th, and they've got a win against Tarleton State when you're inviting Billy Gillespie to town, and they've got to win the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. That's the standard I hold this team to here in year four of Joe Golding, and that's just kind of the bottom line. I don't, you know, in Vegas 1-2, that's a disappointment to me. The way this roster build out is, if you end up saying that UC Santa Barbara wins by 40 or wins by a lot on that road game, that's disappointing to me too. I have a higher standard on this team. I wish that last year, that was the final year where you have those regular season woes, but then you talk about postseason basketball, and that's where they really get hot. It's a one-bid league, Sal. We said it time and time again. Yeah. So what do you kind of see? Do you see that this team needs to be hot in the regular season and carry that momentum into March, or just like they did last year?
So the main answer, right? If I could just give a straightaway answer, get hot in March. That's where it matters the most. Doesn't matter if you have, you know, a 75% win record at Conference USA. Once you get to that tournament, the team you're going up against has just as good a shot as you do. However, that's what they did last year. That's what they did. They showed promise, and a lot of those guys, a hefty chunk of that roster returned this year. So you expect them to play up to those standards. Now, granted, the sample size is far too small, and the competition they've played is not a good measurement compared to what they're going to be going up against, right? But when it comes to UTEP this year, you definitely want to see them maintain some kind of heat and pick up right from where they left off. I think that's what makes it a bit different.
Yeah, I can see that too. I would also say that, you know, they have more excitement going into the off season as well.
Yeah.
It was all the road stuff that you heard all off season long that carried into this year. Let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll take the break with it, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap up Minor Talk here as we continue after UTEP defeats UT Permian Basin. You want to talk about it? 915-505-6009. UTEP wins 78-58. We appreciate the phone call from Ronnie. We'll get to more phone calls here in a minute here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Minor Talk as we continue. Appreciate that, Sal. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll get to our Wind Supply hot hand of the game here in just a little bit. Also, our Oscar Adiette Agency player of the game. But want to read some tweets here on the program, get you guys to react to this. Alberto, Sal, just feel free to jump in wherever as we kind of wind things down here on the program. Manny David, not much to say about this game. It was what it was. Good bounce back win for UTEP, even if it was against a D2 school. Looking forward to next week's test against UC Santa Barbara. Hopefully they'll do better than they did against Utah Valley. Front Page Sports UTEP. It's simple. Our bigs are soft. Giving up 19 offensive rebounds and getting outscored in the second half to a D2 team is unacceptable. At this rate, we will lose the rebounding battle in every game we play this year. From 1 to 10, they earned a 4 tonight.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. All right. You know what? I'll agree with that. The reason why is let's say that first half, 9 or a 10, then that second half, I don't know. I don't have a calculator in front of me. I'm usually quick with it. But whatever it takes to average out a 4, that's what you could say. So whatever that other number is on the opposite side, put that in the second half.
Don't ask me. I'm not a numbers guy.
Yeah.
JK tweets into the program. A lot of points given up in the second half. The team needs to come prepared for UC Santa Barbara. High expectations. Good to bounce back with a win, but hard to get over the disappointment of a 29-point loss. NCAA tournament or bust this year.
You know what? That latter part of it, right? not excited because of the disappointing disappointment in the 29-point loss. You know what would help to get over that disappointment of the 29-point loss would be playing a Division I team on your home floor and getting that win. You know, if it doesn't completely remove it, it lessens the pain significantly. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I agree. Tristan Pence, number one, the Miners' effort was good in the first half. In the second half, it wasn't a good effort. The Miners need to toughen up, especially in the front court. The offense is messy, to say the least. I'd like to see the offense run through Barnes. Hopefully, Bynum and Terrell Jr. learn from their suspension. The Miners need to grow as a team rather quickly with four games on the road on the horizon. I absolutely don't agree with the suspension, by the way. That's the only thing I'm going to say from that. Do they need to learn from their suspension? Yeah, of course. I mean, it could even be as simple as learning from a technical foul or learning from a late foul in a game, a ticky-tack foul. You learn from all these moments. You learn from a bad or sluggish second half in this game from UTEP. And I don't really take a lot of negatives away. Again, knowing it's a D2 school and it's hard to get up for some of these games, but still, let's call it what it is.
While we're on the topic of the suspension, Adrian, we obviously saw some fight there. Obviously for both teams, but I just want to say this. We've seen more fight in the second game, which was a 29-point loss for the UTEP basketball team, than we have all season for the UTEP football team. Guys are doing personal fouls on your players, and there's no sticking up for it. In a ticky-tack foul situation, these guys are ready to throw down on the road in the second game of the season, really the first game of the season. So just wanted to point that
out.
That's
a good point.
Not just this year, but even last year's football team. Like, come on, you guys got to stand up for your boys. Come on.
That's a good point. And this team does at least. Chris R. at Chris Banks, 21. I feel like we've been expecting Elijah Jones and Baylor Hebb to take the next step, but I don't think they ever will. Chris, to what I'll say to that is, you know, this coaching staff will tell you a lot about Baylor Hebb. They will swear by him. And I watched him today, and I just, you know, I'm going to reserve my judgment until I see a larger sample size. And again, against a team that's not a Division II squad. So I'm going to reserve my thoughts on him. I will say that today, you know, he didn't do anything that really, like, jumped off the page to me. But again, it's just the first one where we're really seeing him play in extended minutes. He started today. He played 29 minutes, 6 points, 2 for 5 from the field, 2 assists, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, again, in almost 30 minutes of action. So I'll reserve my judgment on Baylor Hebb for later on. For Elijah Jones, though, you know, this coaching staff has tried to get him on the court, but things off the court have held him back. And, you know, whether it's, you know, just not being a team guy or just trying to keep it together off the court. I don't know what it is, but Elijah Jones, 13 minutes today. He's flying around. You know, you love the athleticism that he brings, but you want the sustainability. You want him to play night in, night out with this squad if he is who he was made out to be, which is maybe like a rim runner, rim protector, somebody who could even be like Calvin Solomon. So that's it right there. Ruben Ramirez, our good pal, Rutang. Wow, the UTEP men's basketball team beat a D2 school by 20. The team is just beating teams they're supposed to win. So let's calm down. Hashtag just saying. Hashtag year 4. Hashtag show me something. Hashtag D1 style. Yeah, let's calm down. I think we can calm down on both sides, right? Like, I think the side that's doom and gloom, you know, calm down. It's just 3 games in. And the side that's, like, real excited, you know, from this win right there, you know, also calm down. This is a D2 school right here. So there's definitely a level ground. And I don't really know, you know, with the transfer portal being what it is, NIL being what it is, I don't know if we'll really find out about any of these teams in college basketball until, like, December, January. I think the month of November is really to iron out a lot of those things to see who you truly are, and then December's the month to try to fix that before conference play. So
not only that, but you know, there's things going on that nobody will ever know about in general all over the nation. So it's the wild, wild west from January 1st to December 31st when it comes to college athletics. So that's an interesting point you bring up.
Yeah, that's a good point too, man. Let's keep it moving here on the program, 915-505-6009, as we continue. We're going to give out some awards here, then we're wrapping this one up. This is the shorter edition of Miner Talk, knowing it's UTPB, knowing it was a 20-point win for the Miners, and despite, you know, some of the shortcomings that UTEP had, it was still a 20-point win. Let's calm down, everybody, and understand what this game really was about. So there you go. Here we go. We're going to go hot hand of the game. It's going to go to Devin Barnes, man. He was electric tonight. 11 points. The three-pointers that he had, those step-backs, were incredible. They were so nice. 28 minutes of action for Devin Barnes. He will be a fan favorite as this season continues. I'm bullish on him. I'm a big fan of his right now as it stands. He finishes this game with 11 points in double figures again. So give me Devin Barnes here for the Hot Hand Award. This is thanks to Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, really, since day one, Wind Supply El Paso has been with us here on Miner Tuck. They are your local provider of Champion heating and cooling systems in El Paso, and they have a lot of different HVAC products and parts. Check them out online at windsupplyelpaso.com and click the Find a Dealer tab to find your nearest Champion Heating dealer here with Wind Supply El Paso. Also with the Oscar Arrieta Player of the Game, we're going with this one. It's Otis Frazier III. Easy one right here. 17 points, 4 of 7 from the field. He was 8 for 10 from the free throw line, which, by the way, has been great for him. He did have 5 turnovers in this matchup, but he made up for it with 4 steals on the defensive side and a block. He was plus 23 in this matchup. Otis Frazier III, senior leader for this squad and leads his team in scoring as well. 17 points to finish this game out. He is the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. Hey, with the Oscar Arrieta Agency, check out their website, OscarArriettaAgency.com. You can ask them about home, auto, life insurance, and even bundling your home and auto to save more in the long run. They've been providing insurance solutions in the El Paso area for over 27 years. That's the Oscar Arrieta Agency. The Oscar Arrieta Allstate Agency is the official Allstate agency of UTEP Athletics. Well, guys, we turn the page. It's UC Santa Barbara next. Alberto, give us some final thoughts here tonight going into next week.
Well, I think that the Miners really need to pick it up, right? I think that, you know, the bad taste in your mouth left after the Utah Valley game doesn't really get washed out after this game, right? You know, granted, you know, the Miners don't have two of their guys in David Terrell and in Ahmad Bynum, and the Miner fans are excited to see Ahmad Bynum, but still, the way the team came out today, it didn't necessarily cleanse your mouth of that bad taste, and if anything, it gives you more to worry about. So these next four games are going to be crucial to the Miners. It'll be crucial to see how they bounce back from this poor game and how they move forward.
Yeah, the poor game against Utah Valley, I think that's the one that you were mentioning right there. But Sal, final thoughts going into UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah. With that one, you definitely want to see them take better care of the ball. You want to see that defense be consistent. That's going to be their strong point all year. And earlier you had mentioned, like, hey, what is the spark off the bench going to be? I think there has to be a different approach. Maybe have your three best offensive players start the game. We've kind of seen it under Golding pretty much since he's been here, with the exception of that first year, because there was Mr. Buckets himself, Sule Boom, but some of their best offensive players are coming off of the bench, and you see them kind of, you know, scraping and clawing to win that game when they don't have to put themselves in that position based off of what they do in the first 10-15 minutes. So I think switch it up, have your three best offensive players out there. You already have a guard heavy lineup. Go out there and get some buckets from the beginning to the end. Your defense is going to fall in place once those guys get that continuity going, but I think the priority, so to speak, has to be on offense for this team to thrive.
One final thing I'll mention, I found it interesting that they were talking about some of the recruits that UTEP's looking at here in the near future, wings, forwards, bigs. It's obvious. That's obviously what UTEP needs. I would love UTEP to get somebody who's like a 6'7", like stretch wing, who could obviously play down low, kind of like an Otis Frazier. Give me like like a little bit more beef than an Otis Frazier, and then also who can hit shots. So maybe too much to ask for. Maybe kind of like an archetype of like a Paul Thomas-ish-esque. But Miners need something like that here moving forward. I think they like the four-guard lineup here with this squad. Size-wise, I don't know how they'll stack up. Against UC Santa Barbara, I think they'll be just fine. This is also a guard-oriented team at UC Santa Barbara. The difference is with this squad, they do have size. They have some size that they pack with their squad. Got a couple guys who run 6'7", 6'8". They're going to need guys like Trey Horton on UTEP's squad to play bigger than their size. And I think guys like Trey Horton can step up and do stuff like that.
And the thing, too, is that these guys might have to do it before the original scheduled time is because of foul trouble from the bigs, too. So I think he stepped up today in the rebounding department, but we want to see him do it against Division I competition.
No doubt about it. Hey, I want to give a special thanks to Sal Montes and Alberto Retta for holding it down back here at our 600 ESPN El Paso, River Oaks Properties, and Schoolyard Sports Studios. Let's keep it moving here on the program, and we're going to wrap it up here on the show. Thanks to everybody for listening in. Make sure you tune into the Minor Talk podcast channel as well. Download, like, subscribe, and rate and review where you can as well. We appreciate all you listening and all the feedback as well. For Sal, for Alberto, I'm Adrian. We are signing off tonight. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.